The scripture reading today, Acts 17, verse 23 through 31. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. So you are ignorant of the very thing you worship. And this is what I'm going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by human design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, for he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. Acts 17, 23 through 31.
Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that reading. If you're a visitor, we welcome you. Hope you'll come back and fill out a card. We can acknowledge your presence. I hope you're enjoying today is National Caviar Day. I know you didn't know that, and you wanted to know that for lunch, right? We've got a special day for everything, sometimes two or three times a day. In our reading today, God is the one who gives us life, and God is the one who gives us today. And he is on the throne, and he has blessed us. Forgive me just a minute while I do something technical. We are blessed to have Ward and his family here with us today. It's great to have them. It's good to see them. They seem to keep growing. I don't know what that's about. Remember when they were that small? You probably do too. We're glad to have them. Let's pray together, please. Well, first let me say, I hope you can join in tonight to Thomas Jackson, his presentation we heard at Red River. The topic is, does God love us? And God does love us, but the topic is based on when sorrow and tragedy comes into our life. God does love us. Let's pray together, please. Our holy God, we thank you that you are a great, holy, and righteous God, as we already just read, that you created the world and everything in it. You determined the time and the places that we should live, that you are on the throne, and that you want us to know you and to have a relationship with you. Father, I pray today that you'll forgive the speaker of his many sins, cleanse him as only you can through your plan in Christ. Father, we thank you for his sacrifice to die after he lived a perfect, sinless life and didn't deserve death, so that he would die in our place because we deserve death, and that he could give his perfect righteousness to us and take all of our sins and place them on him for your perfect plan, for you are the one that makes us righteous. We have no righteousness of our own. We pray, Father, for this church. I pray today for every person that's here and every member, whatever the hurt, the burden, the struggle of their heart may be. Father, I thank you that you know the hearts of all people, that they are naked and laid bare before you right now. I ask you to be with Janet Borden's sister, Judy, as she is dealing with a nodule on her throat, and pray for that struggle. We pray, Father, you'll be with Patricia Conley and the friend that she knows who has a 4-year-old grandson facing surgery. Pray, Father, you'll be with Janet Palumbo and her struggle and fight against cancer. There's so many. We pray for Wanda's neighbor, Neil, dealing with cancer, that he'd come to know you. We pray, Father, for Tommy in the hospital today and be with Mary Ellen. Ease all of their pain. We pray, Father, for many who are dealing with cancer. Bobby Brown, Dee Dee Cooley, Jim Elwood, Pam Portee, Jan Walters. We pray, Father, for our world and the South African church that are fighting. There are fightings and killings going on and many brothers and sisters being killed. We pray, as we have time and time again, for the many different struggles of the members of this church. We pray especially, Father, for Jewel Wisely and for Larry Ivy. If it be your gracious will, help them and heal them with their eyes. We pray, dear God, for Carol Ann and her health struggles. We pray, Father, for Virgil Cox and his upcoming ablation next month in August. We ask you to be with Jim Elwood, his fight with cancer that he seemed to win, and then it came back with a vengeance. Pray for Dick Hamilton and his health, his long health struggles, Rod and Charlene Townsend. We ask you, Father, as only you can, to be with the Purtle family. Help them and bless them at this time of their need. We pray for this church to be the light and salt and leaven to express the love of God to them at this time of their need. We thank you for Karen. We thank you, Father, that there is hope out of this life, beyond this world. But again, we ask you to be the God of comfort and the Father of mercies to this family. Bless us today, Father, as we try to serve you, please you, and hear from your word. Thank you, Father, we love you, and we thank you for your spirit that cleans up our prayers, for we don't know how to pray as we ought. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob Dylan said in the 1960s, don't trust anyone over the age of 30. Well, Bob Dylan's 80 right now, so, you know, I guess we can't listen to what he said. But that was the time and that was the thought that we were the smartest and we've finally gotten to where we know more than anybody else. That was the 60s I'm talking about, not today, although that attitude is prevalent today. And in that attitude, cities across the United States burned in the summers. Presidents and presidential candidates were shot and killed. Others were shot and maimed for life. In that context, we didn't know as much as we thought. MeTV, which is Memorable Entertainment TV, I've started watching those old shows. Not that I watched them so much when they were on. You know, Perry Mason, some of the good TV, right? I'm watching Gunsmoke, and this came across the screen before Gunsmoke. And I did watch Gunsmoke as a kid. That dates me, I know. But this came across the screen. This program contains outdated cultural depictions. Viewer discretion is advised. Gunsmoke. We are not the smartest that we think we are. And in that context, we used to say things like, wouldn't it be great to watch Bonanza in color? Now, I know I'm dating myself. And you know, and color TVs were $600. Now, that's not what you think it is. Because $600 in the 60s would be like adding a zero to your salary today, or to that number. And they weren't a little flat screen. They were about half the size of this pulpit, and then you had to get and carry them. And they actually literally came to your house and worked on your TV when it was messed up and fixed it with the tubes. You turned the TV on, and many homes, they had to warm up before they... And we struggled. We struggled badly in those days. We had to get up, walk across the room to change the channels. It was so hard. You had to come back and sit out and rest. It was just so bad. Yeah, it was tough back in those days. But we're living in a time where people are renaming John Wayne Airport. Oh, he's too offensive. And everything that was seems to be wrong. Because we think we're so advanced and so wise. Well, last week we talked about culture. We talked about the news. We talked about the constant barrage of news coming at us and the world telling us how to live. And we said there are 5,000 advertisements coming at us every day. 5,000. Karen says, we need to buy one of those emergency radios. That's a great deal, $39. But come here, let me show you something. I bought this emergency radio when I was in Ukraine. It's got AM, FM, shortwave. We listened to the BBC with the Voice of America. It was $10. Oh, okay, we're great. You know, we see those advertisements. I gotta have this product. You know, whatever it is, I gotta have this product. Maybe it's fruit and veggies. Maybe it's, you know, some diet fad. And they pound that at us. Why? Because they know repetition makes us buy it. And some of those commercials are so offensive, and they're done that way on purpose, because you remember it because it makes you mad. They show that commercial for insurance, then they show it again. You're like, well, any moron would know that you just showed the same commercial. But they do it intentionally because you will remember it with emotion. And maybe when it comes time to get car insurance, you'll call them. The cameras in grocery stores are not watching people steal candy bars. They're watching human behavior. Why you buy this and why you don't buy that? Why you pass this up? Or how far are you willing to bend down to buy something? All of this to say, we're talking in our study of Bible basics. The basic things of the Word of God. That where we are to go for help and instruction. This is the basic wisdom of God who created us. Instruction is not only on how to get to heaven, but how to live while we're on the earth. For thousands of years, people have been following the Word of God and living on this earth and finding their way to God. Just a few verses, Psalm 11 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Not TV, not today's man, not education. I'm not against education. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord adds years to your life. Proverbs 10:27. That's 3,000 years old. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Proverbs 1:7. Well, the basic things is what we're looking at in this study. And today, the most basic thing we're looking at of all is God. Now, as we talked about in class, we've already sung Jesus is Lord, and that means we're here to surrender our life to Him, to do what He says, to avoid what He says to avoid, and be what He wants us to be. As the plan of the cross is, He's able to deal with our sins. But in that context, we're also here to learn, what does God say in His Word? What does God require of us? We've done it so many times. If I would ask you, as I did last week, which way is north, we'd know north is that way. It doesn't matter how you feel. It doesn't matter what the current opinion of the culture is. North is that way. It doesn't matter if I think it's that way. It's that way. This is object truth, object standards of truth, universal truth. That's what God's Word is. It gives us freedom. An old phrase from sailing days, he who is slave to the compass has the freedom of the seas. If you are willing to follow the compass and follow the directions of the compass, you can sail anywhere in the world. If we are a slave to the Word of God, we have freedom to go anywhere, in any culture, at any time, no matter what technology brings. This is the eternal Word of God. We're to follow God's Word that gives us freedom. I read about a teacher who was in a large community and a child was badly burned, very disfigured in the hospital. Her job was to go teach the child in the hospital algebra. And as she went there, the nurse said, would be grateful you could help her with her homework, but he doesn't want anything to do with anybody. In fact, he's really given up. She went in and saw that he was badly disfigured, horribly burned, and a great deal of pain. But she did her job. She taught him about nouns and adverbs and taught him about math. The lesson was over. She wondered if it got through, came back the next day, and the nurse said, what did you do yesterday? So I'm sorry, I tried to do my job. She said, no, you don't understand. He had completely given up and lost the will to live. And today he's fighting, he's alive, he wants to live. She said, well, I did was teach him nouns and adverbs and math, and I just did my teaching. So they asked the little boy. They found out later that he decided that if they sent a teacher to teach him about math, to teach him about nouns and adverbs, they wouldn't send a teacher to a dying boy to teach him his homework. He decided, well, they must believe I'm going to live, and that's why this teacher is here. As we talk about God, do we understand that God wants us to really live? That real life is not found with Coke, and that's why we're getting all those products and drinking all those Cokes, right? Real life is found in relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. And his attitude changed the young boy when he realized that he wasn't going to die. There's tremendous power in hope. We talked in class about our salvation. We need hope. Always, but especially over the last 2 years and what we've gone through, when it seems like everything is crashing in on us, we get the feeling like nothing works or we have no hope, that things are really bad and I don't know what to do, that without hope we feel futility. Well, what's the use? It can even destroy our basic desire to go on living. Hope is important for the human spirit, like oxygen is to the physical body. We must have it, and our hope is in God. As we closed last week in our first slide, we talked about Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 13. That God is willing to walk with us in this life, whether it's the pandemic, whether it's the struggles you have at work or in your marriage or in your personal life or your family growing up or whatever it is. God says, I am the Lord your God. I will hold your right hand. That's the God we serve. It is I who says to you, fear not, for I am the one who helps you. We all need help and we need hope, and that gives us hope. Maybe you're facing a crisis of a medical decision or a medical diagnosis. God is the one who is on the throne that can help us. And again, we're not here this morning, in the next slide, to do an empty ritual as we talked about in class. God does not want us to come here and say a few words and do a few things and then walk out the door and that's our service to God. No, God wants a relationship with us. Many words and little meaning in prayer is paganism. Few words and much meaning is Christianity, is the famous quote. And God is inviting us and others to walk with Him in this world, to live with Him. This is one of the things that we work with as we go not only here but in other places, and this is in Panama this week. We live in a marvelous age. The next slide shows you a close-up of going to be a new sister in Christ. This is what we are doing as a people, sharing the good news all over the world. And we want, of course, to make sure that we're right with God. Our next slide is a video. We'll help you to see through the modern technology what happened this week.
Promete usted delante de Dios y delante de todos los testigos aquí presentes serle fiel a Dios hasta la muerte.
Sí, lo prometo.
Okay, con esta confesión vamos a bautizar en nombre del Padre, el Hijo y el Espíritu Santo para el perdón de sus pecados y para que el Señor le dé el Espíritu Santo. Puede.
Recognize the song, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. No matter what language it's in, you probably recognize it. This is what we're talking about in class, being brought from death to life, real life in Christ. Real life is not what we possess. Real life is not what we own. Real life is living in a relationship with God and living beyond this world at this present time we're on the earth. But one day we will all pass from this world unless the Lord comes first. In our reading today, Paul describes people who think they're wise. Mars Hill in Athens. Oh, that's where the smart people are. He talks to them about the resurrection. Some people want to know. Some people think, well, that's crazy. That's foolish. When we talk today about God in our assemblies, what is the point? The point in our assemblies, and Royal did a marvelous job leading singing, and it's great to see these young men growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. But the point of our assemblies is not to just say some prayers and do some things and do a ritual and go out the door and we've given our service to God. No, the point of our assemblies is to make God real in the lives of the worshipers and quit worrying about the order and the arrangement. If God is real in the lives of the worshipers, you cannot do it wrong. And if God is not real in the lives of the worshipers, you can't do it right. It doesn't matter how many songs or what order we do it, if God is not real. And that's what we're here today to do. And it's not Burger King. I don't get it my way and how I like it and how I think it is. We're here to do what God says in His Word, how one worships Him, how one comes to Christ, what God says, and He is the focus. And our next slide reminds us of who and what God is. He is the God who made the mountains and the wind and all of the earth and heaven and sea. He's not like us. We're not like Him. He forms the mountains like you might play with Play-Doh. He creates the wind. He is the Lord of hosts. And our next slide again, we talk about how are we going to live in this world? How are we going to keep going? We talked in class about living a life as a Christian life, and if somebody's coming and they fall down, they get back up and they fall down. How do we keep going? Because God is on our side. Because God is there to help us. How can we live as a Christian in a non-Christian world? We keep walking, as we said in class. The direction you are going is more important than where you're at right now. If two people are coming from Mesa, coming here, they're coming to Chandler. And one person falls down, they get back up, and they fall down again. They get back up. They're going to Chandler. That's the brother who commits a sin, not unto death. Here's a brother coming from Mesa to Chandler, and he sits down and says, I think I like it right here. I'm not going anywhere. That's a brother who sinned a sin unto death. He's not going to Chandler. He has no desire to go to Chandler. He has no desire to get up. He's going to stay right there. We do fall. We do stumble. We do struggle. But we get back up and we go because God is willing to help us and forgive us every day. And our next slide, I encourage you to remember, look at the Bible. Look at who God has helped in the past. Look at all those names and all those true stories of people who had difficulties and struggle, and God was there to help them. Did God not help them? Not one. And you know the names. You know the events. You know the Bible stories. I say stories, it's true history, but there's Bible stories of Enoch, of Noah, of Nehemiah, Jeremiah, Job, Moses, Daniel, and Paul. They had some pretty bad days. Do we believe that God will help us? That's the promise of Scripture. Again, our next slide reminds us that we looked at Wednesday night. Some people thought in the name of Jesus what we ought to do is kill everybody. In the name of Christ, the Crusades. Well, what did Jesus really do? How did he act? How did Jesus treat people? Here's the one they're coming to arrest, Jesus. Malchus is there, the servant of the high priest. Peter takes out the sword. He's going to start the fight. Jesus still has his power when they arrest him. I promise I would love to have seen some of these miracles. Jesus reaches down, puts the ear back on. How is it that he could do that miracle and they still arrest him and take him away? I don't know. But that maybe describes the hardness of their heart. He puts the man's ear. Can you imagine Malchus going home? How was your day, hon? Well, you ain't going to believe this. You know, I lost my ear today. Well, it looks fine. Well, yeah, Jesus put it back on. And they're coming to arrest him. He washed the feet of Judas. He gave life to the people who helped crucify him. The crucifixion was no accident. It was always the plan of God. And our next slide again, I told you before, I'm concerned about our country. I'm concerned about what's happening in our country. We must go to the Word of God. In this passage in Lamentations, in his country, God was sending a foreign nation to wipe it off the face of the earth. As 10 cities in Judah were going up in smoke because the army had come through and wiped them out, they're on their way to Jerusalem. The writer says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. His hope was in God, even though his country was being wiped off the face of the earth. That's the faith we need to focus on, not how we think the world ought to be. It reminds me of my attitude. I talked to my former secretary. She's in her high 90s. She's in a nursing home. She's got one eye that's shut. And every time I talk to her, she says, I'm trying to hold on to my joy. Incredible. And she is. Where the cities of Judah had fallen. And the writer, Jeremiah, loved his country. But he knew it was doomed because the army was marching across it. He looked to God. Said the Now, it's a great verse. You like chocolate? That's a great verse. You know, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And it's wonderful when things are going well. But this is a verse where the whole world is falling apart. God's still on the throne. Our next slide, as the bulletin describes tonight, Brother Jackson's going to show a great presentation, I think. We showed you this slide earlier in the year. How are we going to plan to deal with this life, this world? Brother Jackson will talk about the story of love through tragedy. That God loves us when all these bad things happen. He's going to use the book of Ruth. Very good presentation. But as I told you before, don't be upset by everything you look around you. Look to God. Focus on Him. Go to work. If you look at men like Psalm 73, we'll lose our faith. Why? Because God doesn't run the world the way we think it ought to be. God has no interest in running the world the way we think it ought to be, by the way. He's smarter than we are, wiser than we are. Again, God's on the throne. Say your prayers and go to bed. In this context, our next slide reminds us that God is up to the task. God is the God who can name the stars by their name, even count them. We can't do that. He calls the stars by name. Go out at night and look at the sky when we're struggling, hurting. He counts the hairs on our head. That's not hard for some of us. But He knows His children. If He knows the stars and He knows them by name, this is an argument, a Jewish argument, from greater to lesser. If God can do that, will God take care of His children? Sure He will. Our next slide reminds us it was always the plan of God to go to the cross. It was not an accident. It was God's plan to pay for our sins that Jesus obeyed even to the point of death on a cross. Now think about this. Jesus Christ is at creation. Everything was made through Him. Can you imagine, as the story tells, as one guy wrote, Jesus is spending a lot of extra time outside of Jerusalem making this hill. And the angel says, what are you doing? Oh, I'm making a nice little hill here. Oh, is something special going to happen there? Yeah, God's going to die on that hill. Call it Golgotha, Calvary. God took care of the people when they were little babies until they raised and became men who were going to put Him on the cross and put Him to death. God was serious about letting His Son go to the cross. It was His plan. It was not an accident. And Jesus was willing to obey, become obedient even unto death, even death on a cross, because this was the only way we could be saved. This next slide reminds us that God came up with a plan for us to be saved, not man. Man tries, we talked about in class, God is pretty smart. He's already figured this out. When men try to figure it out, they come up with a work salvation or some other plan. Don't you want to be part of what Jesus Christ says? Our next slide. We have them available on the back and other places. Take your Bible, whatever is said here or anywhere online, run it through your Bible. What did Jesus Christ say who died on a cross for your sins and mine? Surely somebody who's going to give their life is going to say something pretty clear of how to access His blood, how to access His forgiveness, because He's going to give His life. He doesn't want to waste it. He wants to make it clear that as many people as possible can access it. We men can come up with some ideas, get the brightest and smartest, but we're not as smart as God. God has found something that works. It's the only way. Our next slide, again, reminds us of God's plan. That we can enter a relationship with God from Psalm 103, 8 to 14, that God separates our sins as far as the east is from the west. Now, the devil is a liar, we talked about in class. And the devil will throw your sins in your face and say, God couldn't love you, God couldn't forgive you, and I won't bother with telling you the story, remember the duck, but you know what the point of that is. That God loves us, and Satan is a liar. And Satan will tell you, if God knew what you did, He would throw you out. If God knew about your sins, He couldn't love you anymore. And all that's a lie, because God already knows everything about us. And second, what Jesus went to a cross to die for us. While we were sinners, while we were powerless, Christ died for us. God already knows all of us and loves us enough to send His Son to die for us. Warren and Mindy's family flew yesterday from Dallas to here, 2.5-hour flight roughly. This scripture says that God separates our sins from us as far as the east is from the west. What if you knew and you're right with God, you're in a relationship with God, you're a Christian, you confess your sin, that your sins are as far from you today as Dallas? That God's not going to throw in your face today. That's thousands, well, 1,800, I don't know how many miles that is, somebody could tell me. But this verse doesn't start there. This says as far as the east is from the west. You may remember Warren and I once got on an airplane. It took about 20 hours, 22 hours to get to the west. Or the east, I'm sorry. What if God separated your sins for you that far, the other side of the world? That's what the plan of God is. He hurls our sins, Micah says, into the depths of the sea. They say the sea is between 6 and 7 miles deep. One brother said, put up a sign that says, no fishing. God's plan is forgiveness. We're the ones that have to get the picture that he's already provided. God loves us and wants us to start over every day in Christ. That the plan of changing behavior is forgiveness. That follow, and what's the goal? The goal is to be made in the image of his Son. Not just do whatever we want, to become conformed, to be like Christ. Well, the only way that's going to happen is by the grace of God. The only way we can do that is by God working with us to mold us and to make us in the people he wants us to be. He starts by getting us to surrender to him and obeying his commands, but that's just the beginning. That's the beginning of a walk with him. A man was lost in the desert and in the jungles, and he's about to give up hope when he found a stream. He followed the stream to a larger river and followed the river to a village. From the village, he was able to get a ride to a bigger town and flew back home. Now, when he found that stream, as he was wandering, was that the end of his journey or the end of his wandering? That was the end of his wandering. And finding Jesus Christ and surrendering to him is the end of our wandering and looking for life in the wrong places. And the beginning of the greatest journey that anyone will take place, to follow Christ as their Lord, to receive forgiveness from him every day, to give life from God. As he says in Acts 17, in him we live and move and have our being. Paul quotes to these people in Athens who didn't know God. He's trying to get them to understand that God wants a relationship with them. You've done very well. The lesson is yours. We're here today in the very presence of God to hear his words, what he says we should do, how we should live. And the point is, he wants a relationship with us. It's about relationship. Maybe you just need reminded. Maybe you've never put Christ on, never put him on, and you need that relationship. What does your Bible say? Maybe you're walking with the Lord a period of time, and you're just not sure. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Be glad to help you. But there's the public response you need to make. Why don't you come as we stand and sing?